Good afternoon, brethren. It's wonderful to see you all. Just don't know why mankind has decided to lose an hour tonight. Such a wonderful season, spring season, the end of winter, springtime, and then we just have to play with our sleep and get us all disoriented and not able to enjoy the beautiful spring weather. So you understand what I think about losing an hour of sleep tonight. Well, brethren, who likes to talk about the good old days? Who likes to reminisce about times, raise your hands, times gone by? Who likes to reminisce about our childhood? Maybe when society seemed better, when the world seemed easier, when our lives seemed less complicated. So a few nods and a few hands raised, we all do. I do. I love to talk about when I was younger, when growing up with my dad in the garden center and the things I got to do, they were good times. They were fun times. They were easier times. I also remember growing up, and this is just a curiosity in our human nature, how we love to reminisce about the past. We love to look on the good times. But now I find myself in my mid-40s. And I think about the good old days. The good old days were the 80s and the 90s. Yes, I just aged myself. Yes, I just said that. What's happened? But yes, the good old days, in my sense, maybe, is the 80s and the 90s. But when I was growing up, I grew up in the church. I heard my parents, I heard others. Oh, the good old days. Those good old days. Oh, back in the 50s and the 60s, the good old days. Oh, things were better back then. Nowadays, things are falling apart. But back then, it was all in the 50s that things, we had it together. That's what I heard. It's interesting that now I think the 80s and 90s, these were the good old days. No, my parents told me the 50s and 60s were. Never got a chance to ask my grandfather, my opa, what do you say the 20s and 30s were? Where would this end? How far back would we go? Who would say when the good old days were? Who would say when the better times were? It's interesting how God has made our memories, our minds. We actually are very apt, our brains are very apt at editing out our memories, editing out our experiences to make the past at times look better than what it was, look better than what it is. It's the way we're made. It's maybe also a bit of the human nature that is in us that we battle each day. But it's a curiosity. We love to do it. Well, this afternoon, I want to look into what does God say on the matter? What does God tell us about looking back to the good old days? What's in His Word? Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. And let's read, maybe an awkwardly written verse, but let's read what God says. Because that's why we're here on the Sabbath day, to learn more about God's way of life, to learn more about God's will and God's mind. Of course, we want to know, what does He say on the matter? So let's read in Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. Say not you, the verse begins, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. You got to love or not love those King James translators. It's a little awkward there. It's a little simple if you think it through. But let's read a couple other translations. Start with the English Standard Version. But it's definitely, what we just read in the King James, it's awkward. Say not you. It's not the way we speak today. What are the former days better than these? Also kind of awkwardly written. But let's read another definition here, or another translation, I mean. Say not. Why are the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. It's a little different. Both of them are a little different. A little different than what the introduction was and how we like to talk about the good old days. The New Living Translation, probably not one we would turn to often, highly simplifies it. I don't recommend using it as to study from, but sheds a little light here. And it goes just simply, don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. So just looking at these three translations and looking at the King James, what is the cause that the former days, the days gone by, were better than these? God's word says, we're not asking a wise question. Oh, it's a little different. It's a little different than loving to talk about the good old times, the good old days. I hear God's word here. Take a little pause. Oh, maybe I'm not being wise talking about those good old days. Because that's what God's word says. But what can we learn from it? What can we expand through other scriptures? What God is saying here? And what we all can learn? Because we do like to talk about it. And yes, there are lessons we can learn. And there are stories we can tell about the good old days. But it's how we look at them. It's how we bring them up and where their place is. But where's the mind of God in the matter? I was having a little fun going through myself, my parents. It could be yourself, your parents, your grandparents, your great-grandparents. When were those good old days? Let's go to Genesis 2. There may have been only the good old hours. That's it. Let's go read in Genesis 2, verse 16. You all know where I'm going. It's the beginning here. The good old days or the good old hours didn't last very long. Mankind didn't keep things where they should be very long. Let's go to Genesis 2 and verse 16. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may eat, freely eat. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So instruction to Adam. Let's go to chapter 3. We won't go through the whole account. We know in principle what happened there. The serpent, Satan, talked to Eve and convinced Eve to take and eat of this tree. And let's read in Genesis 3 and verse 6. So technically only a very short time between the creation of mankind, Adam put on this earth. Let's read in verse 6 of chapter 3. And then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the trees, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. So immediately their eyes were opened. Immediately they saw good and evil. Having just a little fun with it, how long did the good old days last? Not very. Very quickly, man made a wrong decision. Man went against instruction from God and decided to go his own route, to go his own way. So, what was the effects of it? What did the world become? What is the world even still today? What has the world always been? Let's turn to Psalm 14 and verse 1. Here's during King David was inspired to write this. Here you go. Thousands of years later, in the time of Adam, and here's King David, inspired by God, to write some verses. And we learn how God looks on the earth, and God looks on mankind. Verse 1, we'll read, "The fool has said in his heart, 'There is no God.' They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that does good. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God." This is where Ecclesiastes 7:10, looking back to the times gone by. We're looking back here to the times gone by when David wrote this. What does God say? "They are all gone in Zion. They are all become filthy. There is none that does good, no, not one." Were there the good old days in King David's time? Yes, of course, there were good times under the rule of King David. But what was mankind? Mankind did not seek God, would not seek God, could not seek God. Let's go to Romans 3 and verse 10. Here Paul quotes the Old Testament, quotes what we just read, and we'll see a little further. It's a good verse as we lead up to Passover and Passover preparation, just to review where we were. Also, here we're going to look at, where's mankind? Where's all of mankind who hasn't had the opportunity that we've had to have our eyes opened, to have our eyes to see the truth, to see God's way? Let's read it, Romans 3 and verse 10. "And it is written, 'There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are all together become unprofitable. There is none that does good, no, not one.'" Continuing in verse 13, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they use deceit. Their poison asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The ways of peace they know not. Their fear, there is no fear of God before their eyes." That was us before being called. That's the world today. That's always been all of mankind. So we're searching for the wisdom, God's wisdom, not to ask about the times gone by, not to glorify the times gone by or say they were better than today. Because unfortunately, all that have ever lived have been in this state. And no matter, we all can remember, they're not called. So they're in this state. No matter how good it looked, no matter how well it was, all of mankind was still in that state. Could those days be called the good old days? Now, there is one way we can look at it. Yes, those days are better than today. Because you go back when there was a billion people on earth. Well, then there was only a billion people on earth not seeking God. Then today, there's 8 billion people not seeking God. It's worse today because there's more of us. It wasn't really any better back then or back whenever, because all of man wasn't seeking God. Again, back to the verse. God's asking us, why are you asking that? Why are you saying the former days were better? You're not being wise about it. It's interesting, God's mind here. Let's go to Matthew 12 and verse 34. And this is Christ speaking to the Pharisees, a different time. And yes, there isn't a scripture for every age in between the three time periods we're looking at here in this section that we can turn to, but we know in between, we know by these scriptures, of course. Mankind is cut off from God. How can mankind be good? How can there be good days? In Matthew 12 and verse 34, here Christ, again, as I mentioned, talking to the Pharisees. O generation of vipers, how can you being evil speak good? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Talking about the generation in front of them, the generation that was there. Of course, that applies to all who read this to in certain degree, all generations. In verse 38, then a certain of the scribes of the Pharisees, just another scripture we want to read here, answered saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. So show us a sign. But he answered them. Christ said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign. There is no sign be given but the sign of Jonah. My point to read that scripture is here. God, Christ, in the flesh, calls out the generation before him. You're evil, adulterous generation. We learned in Romans where man cut off from God, none seeks after him. But what's interesting here, if you look at verse 33, to give a little more context, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. How many history books could we pick up and read? How many searches could we do online and look at mankind's track record over the last 6,000 years? Look at the abundant fruit that would be there. It would be pretty hard to find the good old days. Mankind's fruit of mankind who is cut off from God and doing his own way, doing good and evil. Yes, there's some good times, but they're cut off from God. What is the fruit that's been shown? The history books are full of, in Christ here in a way, evil fruit of mankind trying to live without God's instruction, trying to live without God's law and God's way. The world has always been in an evil time. The world has been cut off from God. Back to Ecclesiastes, in our minds, that verse, looking back to the times gone past, God says it's not wise to. They weren't better. We're learning why. Here, let's go to Genesis 19. And in a related, it's more the attitude. It's more the purpose, the wrong purpose that can be in looking back on history or glorifying the days gone by. In a sense, looking back to this world. Let's go to Genesis 19 and verse 23. Because in related terms, here we're going to read about Lot and his wife in Genesis 19. And that's a situation that was immediate. They fled from Sodom and Gomorrah. God took them out of there and went on to destroy them, destroy those cities. But it was the attitude that Lot's wife had. Let's read just to get a little bit of context. Verse 23. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar, where he went to flee to. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. He overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. So in a sense, she looked back to the cities. Maybe in her mind were some good old memories. She looked back to there and what happened. An example of looking back with the wrong attitude. Looking back longing to the good old times in her case. And immediately a pillar of salt. Let's go to Luke 17, verse 32. Short verse. And I want to take the context around it. It's amazing why this verse is here, how it relates to our topic, how it is a warning to us, and how it just implicates our human nature. Luke 17, verse 32. Here, just simply, three words. Remember Lot's wife. But let's go read verse 31. And this event, when this happens, could be in the near future, could be at certain parts of the iteration, it's been explained. But in either way, it's later. Maybe we don't have to experience it directly ourselves. And if we don't, we're going to have to teach about it. So if we're going to have to teach about it, we want to know about it. So let's read at the context here, how God inspired to, in the middle of this picture, or just after the verse 31, God puts, remember Lot's wife. So in that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away, and he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. So this is a time to flee. The kingdom is coming. Christ is returning. Events are unfolding. It is time to go. It is time to do. It is time to act. And what does God remind us? Remember Lot's wife. Remember, don't look back. Don't look over your shoulder. But what is sobering, what I find very sobering, is in a situation like that, we need that warning. In a time like that, mankind will need to be reminded that that's still a possibility. That's still a possibility to look over our shoulders. This adds to the picture that awkwardly written verse in Ecclesiastes is showing us, asking about the times gone by. I just find it amazing that God needs to put that there in such an event that would be unfolding. If we would be there on the housetop and we'd have to flee, we'd have to go, we'd have to act. And God has to remind us, don't look back. It's amazing. That's sobering. Should be also very galvanizing for all of us. Well, we looked at the world and where it's been for 6,000 years. Looked at a warning about looking back, about looking to times gone by. But where are you and I now? Where are you and I now spiritually? Where should we be? Let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Where should we be focused? We'll begin to read about. But Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Actually, we'll start in verse 21. Ephesians 4 and verse 21. If so be that you have heard of him and have taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation, so the former conduct, the old man who is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It's ultimately to fully put on the true man that is created in righteousness is when our bodies will be changed. But at baptism, the old man has died, is buried. We are to go on and grow We heard a little bit on where we are to grow in the first message. We are to go on and grow. We are to put the old man away. One thing that I know personally, some of my good old days, or many of my good old days, were PC. BC, does that ever do right? No, maybe I didn't. BC. I got. Sometimes dyslexia gets into you, and you go like PC. And I was going to make a joke about a Canadian political party that has nothing to do with it. Anyways, BC, before conversion, isn't it? Isn't a lot of those good old days sometimes BC for us before conversion? I know some of them are for me. What is the verse that we just read? We're to put behind, put off concerning the former conversation, put off concerning the former conduct, and put on the new man. Put on the fruits of the Spirit and grow. Let's turn to Psalm 103 and verse 12. Just where we are. How far away we should be from those, in a sense, some of those good old days. There's a scripture that is good to remind us and good to remind us as we approach the spring holy days and prepare for them. But Psalm 103 and verse 12. Find it eventually. 103 and verse 12. Here we are. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. So as far as east is from the west, so far has God removed our BC days from us, especially the bad parts. How much should we be looking back and saying, oh, the good old days are better than today? I want to ask a question at this point. The generation that we're in. But what is the greatest time to ever be alive? The greatest time to ever draw breath on this earth? Relates to our calling. Where is it? When is it? I've kind of painted a pretty dire picture of the last 6,000 years. Pretty dire picture of maybe where we live today. But let's look and think on some hope here. When is the best time to ever be alive? That's today. That's now. That's this generation. If God tells us not to look on the past and not to say that the past is better than today, what is the greatest reason why God would say that? We're the generation that sees the kingdom of God coming, the kingdom of God on earth. We see Christ returning. Why would we want to look back on other times? Yes, this generation is horrible. Yes, society around us is a mess. But we're the generation that sees the kingdom of God come to earth. Is there any other time we'd want to be alive? Is there any other time we want to be on earth? Would we want to go back to the 80s? That's 40 years ago. Sorry to mention that. That is 40 years ago. That'd be 40 years to go, add back to the weight to the kingdom of God. Does anyone want to do that? Pick your number. None of us would want to add years back between now and when God's kingdom will come. Add that to the picture we're painting on, ask not about the former days, we're better than these. Now, a side point, just the physical, and this is what can be in this age, can be tough for us. We live in an age probably, in many ways, you can make a case, it's the best time to ever be alive. Yes, the news is horrible. Yes, society is bad. But if you need anything, how quickly can you get it? And I mean anything. You need a razor. Well, you can go to Giant Eagle and get it. If you don't like their brand, you can go across the street to Target and get it. If you don't like those two stores, you can drive over to Walmart. And if you never wanted to leave your house, you can have Amazon drop it off at your front door. What kind of silly world do we live in? You know, how in a sense, how an amazing world do we live in? And sometimes the amazing world around us, I mean, there's so many things we can talk about. Yes, we believe in God for our healing. Look at the healthcare system we have. If someone is injured, an ambulance would show up, take them away, and take them off to get, in man's way, repaired. 100 years ago, what would happen? It maybe wouldn't end as well as it would today. We know by stats, and you can look them up. Poverty, it's the lowest it's ever been. Literacy is the highest it's ever been. Travel is the easiest it's ever been. Mr. Garb and Mrs. Garb just came back from New Zealand. And all they had to do, now I'm oversimplifying their trip because I know it's an arduous trip to fly to the other side of the earth, but all they had to do was sit in a plane for 18 hours. So sit down, probably watch a few movies, read a few books, and they flew to the other side of the earth. They went all the way to the other side, and they came back again. And all they really had to do physically was sit down for 18 hours. Try and do that 100 years ago. Try and do that 200 years ago. Try pick another time of mankind's history and try and travel from Wadsworth, Ohio, to Auckland, New Zealand. It'd be impossible. It would be a trek that would, you know, it would be a legendary trek if it was a different age. But all they had to do was enjoy a few movies and probably be fed as well. How many other things are there? But those can show that we live in an amazing time. And the most amazing part about this time that we live in is God is going to bring his kingdom. Yes, this world is falling apart. Yes, this world, the society, the morals are bad. The news is hard to read. But we know what's coming. And we also know for the last 6,000 years, it really hasn't been that different. Mankind has never sought God. But here's to add to the hope, if we live in the greatest generation to see God's kingdom arrive, what will God do in the future about memories? We've heard this often, and it's been something I can't wrap my own mind around, my physical mind. Let's go to Isaiah 65 and verse 17. What will God do in the future? So forget, in some ways, let's forget about talking about this world and all the gadgets and things we can do. What will God do? Back to seeking God's mind, seeking God's wisdom in this matter that he laid out to us in Ecclesiastes. But Isaiah 65, verse 17, simply here, this is when the new heavens and new earth come. For behold, I create heavens, new heavens, and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come to mind. It's been explained to us that memories will be wiped. We read about in other verses where there will be no more tears. The tears will stop. What will God do? God will take a point in his plan for all of mankind, and he will wipe all our memories. How does that relate to talking about the good old days? God's actually going to take the ability away from mankind to do that. It's kind of amazing when you look at it in that light. God's wisdom in the matter. We may like those good old days. like to talk about them. There's lessons that we've learned from them. There's lessons that we've applied from them and can teach others about. But it's the attitude that we have, that we could have, that the warning is, that we've talked about, how we look at those days gone by. Let's look at a few scriptures about encouragement to look to the future. What God wants us to do and where our eyes should be. Let's go to Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Proverbs 4 and verse 25. And here, if we're not to look to the past, we're not to say that the past is better than the future. We know in the present, we are in one great way, the greatest time there is ever to be alive, because God's kingdom will come. Where should our eyes be focused? Where should we be looking towards? And in a sense, what should we be talking about? Well, first, let's read Proverbs 4 and verse 25. Let your eyes look right on. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Reminds me of the scripture of the man behind the plow. If you look back while plowing, you're not fit for the kingdom. So here in Proverbs, let your eyes look right on. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Look towards the kingdom. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. By living God's law, by using the book that is in front of us as an instruction book, ponder all the ways you feel and let all your ways be established by following the instructions that are there. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. It doesn't say look back. I realize that. But verse 27, turn not right or turn not left. If you make one turn, you're not going straight. Once you make that first turn, it's very easy to make a second turn. Left and left. Which way are you headed then? Which way are you looking then? Or it could be right and right. You're going backwards. You're looking over. Just let your eyes be right on. Let your eyelids look straight before you. Let's go to Philippians 3 to see more of where our mind should be focused, our eyes should be set on, our minds should be busy with. Not the good old days necessarily, or at all. Unless there are lessons to learn and things to learn from, of course. There's always good stories to tell. But Philippians 3 and verse 13. Here we read from Paul again. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So Paul, giving us instruction. Forgetting those things that are behind. Sounds a lot like Ecclesiastes 7:10. And reaching forth for the things that are before. So the things that are before us, the things that are to come. Verse 14, I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of Jesus Christ. This is Paul saying what he is doing, admonishing us, encouraging us to do exactly the same, to press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ, the high calling to be a part of God's family, the high calling to to be a part of the kingdom of God when it comes on earth. That's what we are to be focused on. Forgetting those things that are behind. Forgetting to look over our shoulders. Forgetting to reminisce in a wrong way about the good old days. Let's turn to Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. No, it was somewhere in 10 and verse 7, which would not have helped the situation here. Ecclesiastes 7 and verse 10. Let's read it again. Say not you, what is the cause that the former days were better than these? For you do not inquire wisely concerning this. We've gone through scriptures. This afternoon, we've expanded the picture that God puts in this verse. We have expanded what the New Living Translation makes a little too simple. Don't long for the good old days. This is not wise. Brethren, today we've learned about the mind of God. We've learned what God's wisdom is on the matter. We've seen the 6,000 years have been mankind cut off from God. Mankind that hasn't had the opportunity to be converted. And ages that haven't truly had the good old days, the good times. We've seen that this afternoon. We've seen warnings about looking back. And what the attitude that could be when we look back too much. What the effect that has had and how much a part of our human nature it is. And what a warning it will be to those in the future that will be fleeing from the housetops and will have to remember not to look back, not to long for those things in this world, not to long for those good old days. We've seen where we are. In our baptism, in our calling, that the old man has died and been buried. That we need to grow and put on the new man. That those good old days, unfortunately, may be in the BC era of our lives, the before conversion era. And we have learned that we live in the greatest generation that has ever lived. That ever will live. We have the greatest opportunity because what will we see in our lifetimes? What could we see in our lifetimes? What will we see? God's kingdom coming on this earth. How can we pick? How can we talk or think that there's another age that is better than today? Better and then better than what is to come. The kingdom of God. That goal that Paul pressed towards, a goal that we must all press towards. So, brethren, let's read it one more time. Say you not what is the cause that the former days were better than these. For we do not inquire wisely concerning this. Brethren, let's apply what we've learned today and let's learn to be wise.